Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Please join us now for this life-changing message.
All right, well, I'm excited to be here tonight, this Tuesday night. You know, we are blessed people. And I'm a blessed person. And I say that because I believe we have an awesome opportunity. And I can't stress that enough. We have an awesome opportunity to live an absolutely incredible life. An incredible life. We have this opportunity to do great things. Not just for myself. Not just for my family. Not just for the others around us or this church. But the opportunity to do great things for our God, our Creator. Amen? Because that's what the Bible tells me. And I would hate to go through my life and to squander that opportunity, or for that opportunity to slip through my hands before I know it. And the way I think about my life, this Christian life that we have, is that I've got one shot at this. I've got one shot at this. I don't belong to some religious denomination that thinks that if I do good works here, I'm going to come back in some other higher being or whatever. I'm not a cat that has 9 lives, so I've got 8 more left after this one. I've got one shot at it. So I want to live my life in a way that people look at me and say, that guy is all out. I want people to look at this church and say, that church is all out. They're on fire for what God has for them and what God has for in store. And what I want to talk to you about this evening is living a life of no regrets. Being able to get everything out of what God has blessed us with. To be able to claim every promise that's laid out in this book. To play my part in advancing God's kingdom, whatever that is. And I don't want to miss out on any of it. And you don't want to miss out on any of it, right? You know, life, to me, is a constant process of stepping up and stepping out into the things that God has called us to do. God is a God that consistently wants to bless us. This life is about new beginnings. It's about fresh starts. So you may be thinking to yourself, boy, there's some things I regret in the past. Well, I got news for you. The past is the past. It's over. Don't focus on it. Focus it on your future and what God's called you to do and the future that God lays out in this book. God's into new starts, fresh starts. The people that get the most out of life, I'm convinced, are the people that take the most next steps, if I'll call them that. That they're always taking a next step for God. They may have it good, they may have it great, they may have accomplished great things, but they always want something more. There's always a next. What does God have for me now? But you have to do it. You have to live your life that way. And in reality, there's risks associated with that, right? Because we feel comfortable, and we don't want to make mistakes. We have fear comes against us, and we think it's a risk, and it's really not. We just have to get out there and do it. You know, I coached Little League basketball with both my boys. And the object of basketball, or any sport, I guess, for that matter, is to score more points than the other team, right? And in basketball, you can't score if you don't shoot. It's almost impossible, right? Pastor Don, you coach college basketball, right? This just dawned on me, right? In order to score, you have to shoot, right? All right, well, I see. If you don't believe me, believe him. And I tell these little kids all the time, and they're not even little anymore, but they still have the same issue, right? Sometimes they're afraid of the risk of shooting because it's not going to go in. It's like failure. And I tell the kids all the time, guys, we have to score. But you know what? In order to score, we have to shoot the ball. We have to shoot the ball. There's no other way to do it. It's just like God. If we want God to intervene in our lives, if we want God to meet us in the middle of whatever crazy intersection we have with everything we're going on with our lives, we have to meet him halfway. We have to do things. It's a series of just constant little steps. And I also coach my older kids' baseball team. I always have a sports analogy, I know. But I'm just telling you right now, if you give me a life lesson, I can always apply it to a sports analogy. Right, Andy? I can do it. I'm just telling you, you give it to me, I can do it. But anyway, I tell little Mike, all my kids, but I happen to coach his team, I say the same thing every time he goes up to bat. It's one pitch at a time. All you have to worry about is one pitch at a time. You don't have to worry about the last pitch. You don't have to worry about the next pitch. All you have to do is worry about one pitch at a time. Battle one pitch at a time, and after that battle's over, you take another battle, and you take another battle. And that's just like life, right? Life is no different. And this isn't like a life of perfection. There's not a recipe for a life of perfection. It'll never happen, so don't worry about it. We constantly fail. We just do. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but we fail. We're good at one thing. If you don't think you're good at anything, I'm just telling you, you're good at one thing. You're good at failing. But you're measured on, am I going to get back up? Am I going to try again? And I don't want to live a life regretting anything. And neither do you. And more importantly, your God, the God in heaven, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, he wants you to get everything you can out of this life. That's just the way it is. And we have to view our lives this way. My dad used to tell me all the time, he'd say, Mike, you're 15 going on 45. Take it easy. Don't be so serious. Now, the funny thing about that is, the reality of that statement is I am probably the least serious person in this building. I really am. Now, the problem with that is, you really only see me when I'm up here or on Sunday mornings, when I have to be serious, I guess. But, you know, it's the old saying of, I take the things of God very seriously, but I don't take myself serious at all. Does that make sense? I'm speaking to somebody out there, I know that. Yeah. You know, one of the greatest tragedies, if I can say that word, for my life is the possibility of looking back and living a life where I've regretted things, where God has spoken to me on things, and for whatever reason, I haven't taken a step forward. I don't want to live a life of I woulda, coulda, shoulda. I've been there before. I've done that. It doesn't work. And yeah, I'll do it again because, like I said, life isn't perfect, but we can play our part and meet God halfway and let him use us, so to speak. One of the saddest things I believe for people, especially for Bible-believing Christians, is that there's some of us that are just wasting our lives. And why do I say that? Because sometimes we don't realize the potential that lies inside of us. And we've all heard that, you know, God's got a plan for your life. God has great things for you. Everything that's going on is good and has a purpose. And a lot of times we just let that go in one ear and out the other. Hey, those are biblical truths that if you let those go one ear and out the other, or you think it's for somebody else and not for you, those are biblical truths that you're just letting go, that you're forfeiting your right to do great and powerful things. We have the potential in our lives to do far more than we're doing right now. And I'm not talking to anybody specifically, except for myself. I know that I can do more. I know that we can do more. I know that this church can do more. This Christian life is just a series of next steps. You know, Pastor Rick was preaching on the Great Commission the last couple weeks. Well, what happens after the Great Commission? After he delivered, actually in Mark, I believe it's Mark 16. I'm going to turn there real quick. If I can find it in the pink Bible. Mark 16 and 15 through 18. Or 15 through 19, he talks about, he gives them the instructions. So he gives them basically the instruction of the Great Commission. And then I jump all the way down to verse 20. And he says, "Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied them." So what's my point there? There was the Great Commission, and then the very next verse. Then the disciples went out. They actually did something. They heard from God, and they acted on it. This Bible is filled with stories of people that did that. If you look at Noah, God told him to build an ark. He built an ark. A couple of the disciples were at a wedding, and Jesus said, "Turn the water into wine." Now, the apostles didn't turn the water into wine. Jesus did, but he needed somebody to do the work. This life all comes down to hearing God and then acting on it, taking action, living a life of no regret. When God puts something in your heart, don't let it go by. I'll give you an example. How many times, this example is probably universal. It's probably, everybody's probably had this. You're with a group of friends, neighbors, coworkers, whoever, and you just hear a little voice, or maybe it's just a prompting in your heart, and it's to, hey, go ask that person to come to church with you. We've all had that happen, right? And then what do? We say, oh my gosh, I wonder if that was God. God, if that's you, please give me a sign. Please give me a sign. Let me know that that's you. Let him say something so I can respond. Boy, I wonder if that's God or not. Well, here's a good rule of thumb, I would say, if that happens to you. There's a pretty good chance that the devil in that circumstance is probably never going to ask you to invite a friend to church. We can probably all agree on this one point tonight, right? My point there is, many times we go through our lives and we say, you know what, God doesn't speak to me. I never hear God. Well, look at that example. There's a situation where God was speaking to you, as he does all the time, and we were listening, we heard God, but we just failed to do something about it. Just think about living life like this. If every time God told me to do something, if I did it, wow, my life would be radically changed, wouldn't it? Be radically changed. This church would be radically changed. Living a life like this, we'd probably need, I could, five people living like that, and this church would be radically changed. Why? Because that's how powerful God is. That's how powerful his word is. That's how continuously, I believe, he speaks to us as individuals. In many ways, we don't want to act like that because somehow we want to be in control. If we turn everything over to God and do everything he says, there's like a trust issue. Somehow we don't trust God, right? He created us and we believe that, but when a push comes to shove, for some crazy reason, we don't trust him. We want to be in control. We have a better way. There's always something more. Christianity is always a series of next steps and then actually taking them. Not just, hey, here's a list of 10 things I have to do, but here's a list of 10 things that I have to act on. I have a passion for it that I just have to. If I don't act on it, I'm going to be miserable. There's going to be something missing in my life that I'm never going to get out of. God is constantly speaking something to us, constantly. We pray prayers like, Lord, just give us wisdom and give us revelation. And that's a great prayer, right? But I believe, here's the difference. I believe that's where the rubber meets the road. When we pray that prayer of, Lord, just give me revelation. Here's the thing. When he gives you that revelation, you know what that equals for you? That means you now have some responsibility. Right. Revelation that God gives you equals responsibility. Yes. And we need to understand this. And when God reveals something to us, we have to do it. We have to. If he reveals something to you that you've been asking for, you are then responsible for carrying it out. And I know when I was a brand new Christian and I was really seeking God and just me and him, and say, God, what do you want for my life? Give me some direction. I used to always hear this, you know, not audibly. It was just something in my heart, my soul, however you want to say it, that God would always tell me, be careful what you ask for. be careful what you ask for. Because if I give it to you, this was my part of it, if I give it to you, there's going to be responsibility on your end. And there's a big difference in our lives, I believe, in what God wants to do in us and through us versus what we're willing to do. Let me say that again. There's a big difference between what God wants to do in our lives and what we are willing to do. Revelation equals responsibility. And I believe God wants to reveal two things to us: who He is and what He wants us to do. We will never do what God is telling us to do until we understand who He is. We'll never really submit to Him until we recognize who He is. We have to fully buy into who He is before we're going to do what He wants. That's just the way it is. So how do you know who He is? You pray, you commune with Him. You just talk to Him like a friend. You read your Bible. Once God tells us what those next steps are, we're responsible for taking them. You know, the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verse 14, is a great example of what I'm talking about. This parable illustrates really what a tragedy of a wasted opportunity. You've all heard this story before, right? There's three servants. One guy gets 5 bags of gold, 2 bags of gold, 1 bag of gold. The first two do something with it. The last one with the 1 bag or the 1 talent, however you want to call it, squanders it. He digs it in a hole. But I want to look at this a little further this evening. Matthew 25, and this is in the NIV version, starting in verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. I'm going to stop right there. And the key word for me there is entrusted. What did this master do? He entrusted his servants with his money. Entrusted him with his money, not their own money. So the idea here is what happened was the master was basically blessing him. His intent was to bless his servants. That's the same with God. However you view your life and the things that come your way, God's intent is to bless you. Whether you think you are not, whether think you are or not, we are blessed. We just are. We live in a privileged world here in the United, or not in the world, we live in a privileged country. If you woke up this morning and you had a roof over your head, you were blessed. If you woke up this morning and you walked into opened a refrigerator and you had food in it, you were blessed. If you walked into a closet and had clothes to wear, you were blessed. If you woke up and you were breathing, if your heart was beating, you are blessed. That's just the way it is. And many times, we don't think we're blessed because we're so busy looking at somebody else's blessing that we don't even see in how many ways, in how many powerful ways Jesus Christ has blessed us. Amen? Picking up in verse 15. To one, he gave 5 talents of money. To another, 2 talents. And to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. So the one he gave 5, the other 2, and the other 1. That doesn't seem fair, right? I mean, we live in a world nowadays where everything has to be fair, right? Many people might read that scripture and say, okay, 5, 2, 1, 5 plus 2 is 7, 7 plus 1 is 8. He should have divided it by 3, and they all should have got the same thing, right? That's the way life is nowadays. Everybody has to be happy. Everybody has to be the same. You know, our kids play on sports teams now, and they get a trophy for finishing in last place. Well, that's great, I guess, for your self-esteem, but sooner or later, that catches up with you. Or my kids, they've had this in their school. You know, they might flunk a test when Christy helps them with their homework. And what happens? So you get a note home and you get, okay, you can retake the test and get another grade. Well, what happens to the kid that studied? Right? This happens in all schools, not just my kid's school. Right? I got news for you. God isn't fair. God's a good God. But he's not necessarily fair. You know, Pastor Matt in the 5K last year. No. Sorry, Matt, but seriously. He wanted a medal or a trophy for finishing, like, in the middle of the pack. What's that?
Did you bring yours?
No, I didn't bring my medal, but thanks for reminding me. But God isn't necessarily fair. Why can I say that? Because there's general blessing and there's specific blessing, right? All these guys were blessed. They may have been blessed specifically in different ways, but all these guys were blessed. You know, I heard somebody say one time that in today's world, it would be like giving one guy $5 million, the other guy $2 million, and the last guy $1 million. So they were all blessed. And just for the record, if I was the guy with the one, I'd be all right with that. That'd be a pretty good deal. I'd be okay with my specific blessing. Josh could have the five and the two and all the other seven. I'd care less. Now, don't get me wrong. I may not do the right thing with it, right? I'm not just here to say I do all the right things. I'd like to think that I'm guys one or two. But I might use it for myself to say, hey, I'm going to take care of my little family. Because that's what we do with some of our gifts, right? God blesses us with all these gifts, our personality, our skill set, our whatever spiritual gifts we have. And sometimes we just say, you know what? I'm going to keep that all for myself. If I get out amongst other people, things are going to get a little ugly. But God's designed us to reach the world. This Christian life is about people helping people, people reaching people. Verse 16. The man who had received the five talents went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. So also the one with the two talents gained two more. Look at that word, at once. The first two guys, at once. There was urgency. I'm telling you, there has to be more urgency in our lives. We define urgency by, hey, the new iPhone's coming out, I got to get it. The new iPad's coming out, I got to get it. I got to get this new app. I got to see this new movie. I got to get to the store to use my coupon. But then when it comes to God intervening in our lives in a spiritual way or something that might actually matter, we say, you know what? Ah, boy, I don't really have time for that. It's interrupting my schedule. We act like the third guy. Verse 18. But the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, how many people in here, if I gave you $1 million, would you say, if I gave you $1 million, you'd say, and I said, what are you going to do with it? Probably going to dig a hole, put it under my mattress. Some of us are doing that with what God's called us to do. It's just hidden away. Who knows where? These first two guys took those next steps. They were living the life, doing the stuff, however you want to say it. The last guy buried his treasure. He took his life and he turned it into death. He took what could have been his miracle and turned it into regret. And the story goes on in verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. At some point, I know we don't like to look at life like this, but at some point, we're going to have to settle our account, so to speak. We'll have to stand in front of Jesus and take account for what we've done or what we haven't done. And I know many people hear all the time, boy, when I die, When I get up to heaven, I'm meeting Jesus face to face. I got questions. You know, why did my mom die? Why did my dad die? Why was my childhood this? Why didn't I marry this person? Why didn't I have more money? Now, I believe that moment is going to be so awesome and so unbelievable that we are not going to be asking any questions. And I would say if you come to that moment at the end of your life and you're wherever you are and you're asking questions, you might want to look around because chances are you may not be in heaven. You might be somewhere else. But I do believe, that Jesus will have some questions for us. I believe he'll say, what did you do with my death on the cross? And what did you do with all that I blessed you with? Did you use it or did you waste it? And this third guy, we would all agree at the end of the day, what did he do? He wasted it. He wasted it. Just like we do from time to time. And this message isn't to condone anybody. It's to say, hey, there's always a time to restart, to get a new beginning. And usually the time is always right now. When you get knocked down, stand back up. And I've got three quick reasons, I believe, why we do this. Why do sometimes we live a life with no regret? Or why do we sometimes not act? Because I believe there's people all over this room tonight that as I'm talking about what's your next step, that God always says, you're thinking about things. You're thinking about, I know God told me to do that, this, that. And you know what some of your next steps are. So why don't we do that? And I think many times we think it's some real super spiritual issue that, you know, boy, I had a terrible childhood. I had a terrible upbringing. I've got this spiritual issue that I just can't break. My early life has doomed me. My past has doomed me. I believe those are all excuses. We just tell ourselves that because it sounds spiritual and it sounds really bad and it sounds like the devil has a stronghold on us that we can't break. But I think in reality, there's some simple reasons, and I've got three of them right now. Number one, procrastination. Time is our enemy. Sometimes it's so easy to procrastinate with the busyness of life and everything that we have going on. We know what our next step is, but when God tells us, it interrupts what we have going on. I'll do it later. When the time's right, I'm too busy, I'm too stressed. It's going to interrupt with my little routine. But I believe that some of us, our habits and our routines that we've set up have an unbelievable power to destroy and waste our lives. They just do. There's no immediacy with our lives when it comes to God. I'll give you another example here. You know, we have, Matt, I'm not poking on you now for the 5K. But, you know, we have the 5K again this year. And we moved it back to September. So about Memorial Day, I was thinking, you know what, I need to start running. I need to get ready for this. And you think, I'm not going to start now. It's not till September. Why do it? I'll wait for a while. So then July comes up. Wow, I need to start now. Because I actually enjoy running in the summertime. I can put my headphones in and for, you know, about 15 or 16 miles, nobody can get a hold of me. It's actually about 15 or 16 minutes, but. And I'm like, no, July 4th's coming up. Why would I start now? You know, I mean, I'll start at the beginning of the week. I'll start on a Monday. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start on a Monday. You know, and then Monday comes, and you're thinking like, oh, yeah, I'm going to start. Then you're like, well, wait a minute. Technically, Monday's not the beginning of the week. I think I'll just wait till Sunday. So I'll wait till Sunday, yeah. And then next Sunday comes, and you're like, for me, I'm like, well, I'm not going to do it before church. And then after church, I'm going to eat lunch, and then tired, and the kids want to spend time with me, so I can't run today. Maybe I'll do it next Sunday. And then we went on vacation. I'm like, I'm not going to start before vacation. Who starts before vacation? No Don't look at me weird. You guys have all done this, right? And then when we get back, so we get back from vacation, I'm like, I'm going to start today. We get back from vacation. And then the next day, this is a true story, by the way, my son had a couple baseball games, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. We're still, like, technically on vacation, right? So I can still eat whatever I want. I'm not going to run. After the game, let's just stop and get some pizza and wings. So we stop and get pizza and wings, you know, like, I have to, like, roll myself out of there. And we're driving home. I kid you not. I see this guy running. And he's up there, and he's running. The guy, I'm like, boy, that guy's running pretty fast. And I get up there, and I'm like, holy cow, that's Wemmy. Who, like, last year, I ran behind the entire time. I was like, okay, now I have to start running. Now I have a reason. Don't procrastinate. Procrastination just puts on hold the amazing future that God has for us. And some of you, the time is now. People all over the place. It might be to be saved, to get baptized, to serve, to join a life group, to repair a broken relationship. There's all kinds of stuff. And if one of those things I named was what your next step should be, I'm not reading your mind. I'm not prophetic. It's just the point that we all go through the same stuff, right? It's all the same. It's just how we react to it. You know, in my mind, in the way I live my life, I always want to, like, speed up the process for some reason. I want to get it going. It's hard for me to wait on God. But sometimes I think we need to put ourselves in a position, I'd rather fail forward than fail backward, meaning I'd rather make mistakes where I'm too on fire for God, where I'm going too fast, and God needs to pull me back, than just sit here and not do anything. I'm going to use this example because it came to my mind, but I'm not sure I should, but I will. How many people had a baby? Anybody have a baby? All right, I got three guys that raised their hand. I don't know what that's about, but see Pastor Rick on Sunday. No, I'm kidding. But when we've had our baby, I'm not a doctor. I know my wife sometimes thinks that I am, because I'm always like saying, well, does the kids need this, that, whatever. But when we have our first baby, you know, you're in labor, it seems forever, right? And then not to be overly graphic, but what happens is then the doctor comes in and breaks her water. And then, like, that speeds up the process. Then we have a baby. And then the next time we go to the hospital for our second kid, you know, you're doing the whole labor thing. And then you're there for hours, and then the doctor comes in and breaks the water. Then you have a baby. And I'm like, I was thinking this like the third time. I'm thinking like, why don't you just like break her water so we don't have to worry about all this stuff. Right? Sometimes you just have to do it. I know that's not reality, but sometimes that's how my mind works. If I can see the goal and I can get to the goal, who cares about steps 1 through 9? I'm just going straight to 10. I know God doesn't work that way, but sometimes I think we need that a little bit. This third guy, what happens is he thought he had more time. That was his real issue. If you get really down to his real issue, I believe he thought he had more time. And I think most of us in this place, we just go on with our lives and we don't maybe act on what God has told us to do because we think, I'll get to it later. Number two, I believe many times we have a misunderstanding of God. We don't necessarily recognize him. Verse 24, then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See here is what belongs to you. That wasn't true. Nowhere before in this story did it say that the master was a hard man, or did any of that. All we know from the scripture is the very first scripture I read, that the master's intention was to bless the servant. The same with God. His intention is to bless us. If God tells us to do something, don't you think It will be for our benefit. Don't you think something good will come out of it? And many times we think of God as this person that we just can't even communicate with. The relationship I'm talking about is a relationship with our Father. You can have a conversation like I'm having with Pastor Josh or Pastor Matt. That's how we need to view God. We don't need to have everything perfect. We don't have to need this super spiritual prayer. You know, I'm going to show this little video clip. One, so that you see that I'm not serious all the time. And two, I think in this clip we'll show you many times, this is how we come to God. We pray these super spiritual prayers that we think we're going to somehow impress the people around us and impress God when God knows what's on our heart. You can go ahead and play it, Jason.
Oh, dear God, thank you. You are such a good God to us, a kind and gentle and accommodating God. And we thank you, oh sweet, sweet Lord of hosts, for the smorgasbord you have so aptly lain at our table this day and each day by day. Day by day by day. Oh, dear Lord, three things we pray: to love thee more dearly, to see thee more clearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day, by day. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, that's ridiculous, right? But I mean, we've all done it, right? Don't look at me like I'm the only person that's done it, right? We have some super spiritual prayer, and God just wants us to talk to him. That's all he wants. Like we're talking to our friend, or we're talking to our Father. That's what he wants. We're not out here to try to impress anybody. Sometimes we misunderstand who he is. Number three, fear. Fear has a way of stopping us from everything. What you fear controls you. If you fear being poor, money's going to control you. If you fear always measuring up to other people are going to control you. And the problem with having fear is that many times we don't make a bad decision under fear. We do something worse. We make no decision. We're like paralyzed. Fear paralyzes us, and we make no decision. And then what happens? We end up regretting not doing something. We end up regretting not taking action on what God has told us to do because we're so in fear on whatever. We're fear what people are going to think about us, what people are going to say about us, what people are going to talk to our friends about us. Many times we're so in fear of what other people are going to think. And I've got news for you. 99.9% of the time, you know what that other person is thinking about you? Absolutely nothing. Hey man, I have got enough problems of my own that the last thing I need to be worried about is your problems. Right? We're all like that. You know, sometimes we say that we fear God, but what happens is we fear man many times way more than we fear the things of God. You know, this third guy, he regretted not taking that next step. He regretted not taking what the master gave him and taking that next step. My words for tonight are hopefully inspire you and encourage you to take that next step, whatever it is. It's never too late. It's never too late. And I believe there's people all over this place, like I said, that you're thinking, what your next step is. And there's a lot of people out here that during the course of my comments tonight, you think you've outsmarted me because you've thought about what your next step was or should be, and you've already thought of an excuse of why you can't do it. And I don't know your situation, and I don't know what your circumstances are, but I do know that we serve a God that is bigger and better and stronger and higher than any circumstance or any situation that you're going through. Amen? It's never too late. It's never too late. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you're going through. We're all going to go through it and continue to go through it. This life is a battle, a series of little battles. We just need to turn those over to God each and every time. If you had to stand in front of God today and he asked you those two questions, what'd you do with my son? And you would reply, I asked him to come to my heart and he saved me. That's awesome. That's great. And that second question of what did you do with what I blessed you with? Can you answer that? And again, this isn't a life about perfection. But we all have a next step. Start now. Don't procrastinate. If God is tugging on your heart right now or telling you what your next step is, that's not a coincidence. And like my example earlier, it's probably not the devil. Depending on what voice you're hearing, I guess. Take that next step. When we take that step, God meets us there each and every time. This is the only way to live. This is the only way to live. People that take that next step, those are the people that get all they can out of life. Those are the people that stand on every promise of this book. Those are the people that God looks at and says, I can work through that man. I can work through that woman. I can work through that child. This guy in this story failed to take that next step. Probably was a great guy. Probably was a great servant. Probably did a fabulous job of serving his master. He just made a couple small mistakes and didn't take that next step.
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026, or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.